Louise Clark.
How's it going? It is Connor in for Louise all this week, just after 7 o'clock. Now, I know the words that have been thrown out when you're talking about mental health, mindfulness, holistic. And I have sometimes heard holistic and rolled my eyes because, like, what does that even mean? Well, in a few minutes, I'm going to be chatting to Anna Gibson-Steele, who is the founder of the Holistic Centre of Excellence. And I've chatted to her about all these things, how we can democratise it a bit more. And what does it actually mean? Are these terms that kind of put us off, being like, oh, no, I could never do that. Don't have the time. Whatever it might be. A really good chat I had with her. More on that in a few minutes. Bob Sinclair to play, but kicking us off this hour. Pink Panther. So I'm very happy to have Anna Gibson-Steele on the phone on today on The Hub. She is the founder of the Holistic Centre of Excellence Ireland. Since 2004, 3,000 private clients, 10,000 online, and the founder of the outreach programme back in 2010, and the chairperson of the National Association of Complementary Therapies. Anna, thank you so much for giving me your time today. How are you?
Great, Connor. Thanks for having me.
Good, good, good. Now, come here to me. First of all, I have a question for you because I know myself, if I hear holistic therapy, it kind of confuses me and it seems like it's a bit of a blue sky term in my world. So what can you tell me? What is holistic therapies as like, what's the explanation? Would you give it?
Okay, perfect. Well, I think what's great at the moment is people are really realizing that wellness is more than just physical wellness. You know, so particularly young people, most of them, thank God, are perfectly healthy and physically well, but they mightn't be feeling on top of their game. So there's more to wellness than just the physical well-being. And really, holistic means whole. So it means body, mind, spirit, environment. So it's looking at a picture of the whole person. So, you know, how they're feeling mentally, emotionally, and so on and so forth. So holistic well-being or holistic medicine, if we want to call it that, is looking at the whole being and addressing issues in all or any of the above.
Okay, very nice. Because so, like, everything has a different aspect, of course, is going to have a different impact on your mind and your body. So that's a good point. So with things like your work environment and, let's say, your relationship with your friends and family, would that come into it as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It has to. You know, I often use the example, I've been very privileged over the years. You know, I've worked with some people who were, you know, terminally ill and knew they were. And their bodies were really, you know, turning off, for want of a better way of saying it. But mentally, they were fantastic. And they were still spreading joy. So I would say, you know, while our whole focus has always, in recent decades, been on physical, I would argue that the mental aspect and emotional aspect is more important, because your physical might not be working, but if you're mentally, emotionally well, you still have joy in your life. But the opposite is not true. Okay. You know, so, you know, if you could have a perfectly good physical body, which is more the case nowadays, in my opinion, but if you're not mentally, emotionally balanced, it's no good to you, really.
I would completely agree with you. And I suppose to give a bit of a personal insight into my own world, I lost my sister last year at a young enough age, and she was sick and she was terminally ill. But, like, even still then, her mind was all there. She was giving us all a laugh. And
wow, yeah.
I just couldn't believe how strong she could be mentally at the time. And I was like, this is mad. Like, I don't know if I'd be like that. But I was like, yeah. So that's kind of after striking a thought in my mind there, after you saying, like, your mind is so strong.
And what a privilege, you know, to witness that. It's a huge privilege when we've been in the company, you know, of people who are passing over. That they can still be so joyous. It's a great lesson for the rest of us.
Absolutely.
Let's not wait until it gets to that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, a question for you. Mindfulness is something I know is in your field, and I'm going to be very honest with you. Mindfulness is something that I've not really practiced because I think mindfulness, if I was to give it a definition, it's like sitting down, listening to meditations. And is it just confined to that, or can other things, like in your life, let's say your hobbies, count as a mindfulness activity?
Absolutely. So the first thing I have to say about that is I think it's wrongly worded, because I think mindfulness is what we all are. Our minds are full. I'm all about advocating for mind emptiness. Let's empty the mind a little bit.
Okay, fair. You're on the right radio show.
You know, that's where the problem is. I personally never could have done, back in the day when I started, you know, in my late 20s, I could never have sat still to do anything. You know, I found yoga and shavasana and all of that stuff really challenging, because I was a doer. Naturally, I'm a doer. But in point of fact, anything that's mindfulness is anything that stops that voice in your head with the incessant chatter. So, you know, anybody who goes running, who does it, you know, goes for a jog or does fitness.
Yeah.
The reason that is so, that is a mindfulness because you go into what sports people call the zone or point zero, where time is suspended and that normal chitter-chatter stops.
Exactly.
So for people who do fitness, that is a form of mindfulness. Of course it is. The difficulty, which I see a lot in my clinic, is people whose only form of switching off their mind is physical fitness. That becomes a massive problem if they get injured. Because if that is their only way of doing it, that turns them into literally a spiral, because they're not getting the adrenaline, dopamine release anymore. So the idea from my perspective is, holistically, is that you hedge your bets. So you have a couple of different ways of doing it that aren't totally dependent on any particular set of circumstances.
And it's funny you say that. I remember a couple of years ago, my brother done his knee pretty bad, and he was he's the GAA guy. He was always out running, and for those couple of months where he was out, he said it was like one of the worst times of his life. And like, all like, not making a little of the injury, but I was like, your knee is just grand. Like, you'll be fine in a couple of weeks. You'll be back walking.
Yeah. No.
But so much was focused on the physical output that when it stopped, obviously it had an effect.
But also, it's not just, you see, it's not just the physical. There's actually a biochemical reaction that goes on with the endorphin release and the dopamine release. So it's like taking, our body makes, you know, endorphins, which is what they made morphine from, actually. So our body makes dopamine, feel good one. Our body makes these endocrine, these hormones all the time.
Yeah.
And when you're in a cycle of, you know, like a fitness, there is, you're getting your release. And if that stops, it is really similar to taking a drug from somebody who's used to having it. My husband played sport professionally, and I, because I'm aware of all this stuff, when he finished, I made sure he had something to give him an adrenaline jolt, so he actually went horse riding and stuff, because he was so used to, you know, training literally, you know, 5-6 days a week, playing a match at the weekends, whatever it was, and that I knew the biochemical result of suddenly stopping that was going to be an issue. And it, there is actually, I mean, it's a syndrome, you know, depression, where people stop with sport all of a sudden and they end up depressed.
Yeah.
But there's a chemical reason for that. It's not a mental issue per se, as in they're not broken mentally.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, so it's a chemical reaction. Yeah.
And would you say then that it's probably a good idea to find something that does the mind emptying, both physical and non-physical? Would that give you the best results then?
Correct. You see, you have to look after it physically, mentally, emotionally. So hobbies are a great way. You know, and you see, the problem is, Connor, the system isn't set up to encourage people into the hobbies or the things that might be, apart from sports, which are well covered.
Yeah.
You know, so the other stuff, like the arts, like the singing, the dancing, the music, the baking, the woodwork, the... all of those things, there is, we're not really getting exposure to those now. And any of the creative processes that somebody enjoys will be a meditation for them. It will be mindful for them, because my father-in-law, God rest his soul, he didn't know it, but he was meditating when he cut the logs for the fire.
Yeah.
Because he had to fully focus on the axe, because if he didn't, he'd have cut his fingers off. So while he chopped wood, even though it was physically straining for him because he was older, he wasn't thinking about the bills or the pain in his neck or whatever might have been bothering him.
Fair.
And the other thing I will say about mindfulness, Connor, which on the one hand, I'm obviously clearly very excited, you know, after shouting from this tree trunk 25 years ago when no one was listening, that there is recommendations now for mindfulness, you know, and GPs are recommending people to go to mindfulness lessons and so on. But there's a gap in the understanding here that's very, very significant. When we are stressed, our body releases, you know, the hormones, adrenaline, cortisol, and corticosteroids, and so on. One of the symptoms of stress is your memory gets affected.
Yeah.
And it's actually your body's way of trying to protect you.
Okay.
So, you know, use the caveman analogy of the, you know, the lion coming for the caveman, and he goes into fight or flight, and, you know, he's breathing, his circulation, all those things change. And the other functions are downgraded. But the brain makes the critical decision to turn off memory, because it wants Fred to be fully focused right here, right now, in the present moment, watching the fear, watching the threat of the lion. So it turns off his memory recall.
Okay.
So this is an issue, particularly for anyone doing exams, massive problem. because if they're too stressed, most exams are just a memory test.
Yes.
They're not what you know. It's a recall thing. So if you're too stressed, the steroids that your body makes will turn off your memory function, which is why you can't remember somebody's phone number. You know, if you get very stressed, you're like, oh, I can't remember. Now, the problem with that is if people are in a chronic state of stress and I send them to a mindfulness class, they're going to sit in the mindfulness class and go, well, I can't turn this off, because their brain is going, no, 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 think of the fear, think of the fear. And you look at everyone else in the class and you say, well, they can do it and I can't do it. Well, mindfulness doesn't work for me, and they will leave and not try again. You can only do mindfulness and learn a new skill when you are not stressed.
Okay.
You can't learn it when you're stressed.
Now, a conversation I always have with people is, like, I am very lucky to work on the radio. I DJ as well. And people say, oh, sure, you're always working. But I'm like, no. I have my hobbies and I'm lucky enough to have them as a career.
Yeah.
And like, it's funny you say that, because like, no matter what's wrong, I can just relate it to my own life. No matter what's going on outside, as soon as I walk into the radio studio,
correct,
or if I have a gig, all that just turns off.
Stop.
And it's
correct.
Therapy. Perfect. Yeah, it's great.
100%. You're spot on.
Now, so going forward, we have a lot of listeners who are probably moving into their first rental property, so they're worried about money in their entry-level careers or just finishing up in the Leaving Cert. And like, the fast-paced life we have these days, social media, we're trying to compete with one another. Massive stress. Probably that wasn't there 20 years ago.
Correct.
It's at a massive level now. So I'm going to ask you for a couple of tips, maybe day-to-day, that could potentially alleviate some of that stress, or maybe some advice of how people could go about, like, decompressing, maybe.
Yeah. Well, if you're blessed enough to know what your hobby or your passion is, make time for it. Just make it essential. You know, prioritize it on the list. So for me, when I find that, you know, I'm getting a little overwhelmed, I have to go to the seaside. I just have to, no matter what time of the year it is. I go, I walk on the beach. That's what I call emptying the stress pot. That's what does it for me. Now, everybody will know their own way of doing it, but it's really important to factor it in and give it the priority it needs. Because, you know, we have this belief, unless we're working hard, or, you know, if you're sitting still, you're being lazy, or, you know, all of these beliefs that we're programmed with. But well-being, like, we really have to get proactive with our well-being. Instead of the old system of you wait till you get sick to start looking at your wellness. You know, we have to stay well so we don't get sick, which is really what complementary therapy is primarily about. You know, so it's about maintaining your health, building in stuff. So it doesn't have to cost money. Obviously, going for treatments to a complementary health therapist will cost money. But it is a fantastic way of doing it. And learning to do them for yourself, for me, it's all about empowering people to look after themselves. So first thing is, if you're in the stress cycle, you've got to get off the wheel, however you choose to do that. Because while you're in that cycle, it's impossible to learn a new skill or to find a new way or to be able to watch what's going on in your head. I don't believe, this is controversial probably, I don't think stress is a mental illness.
Okay.
I think it's a mental fitness problem.
Yes.
In the same way that if I were, you know, severely overweight and unfit, like, the solution is simple for me to correct that. It might not be easy, depending on the habits I have, but the solution is simple. And the same is true of mental health.
Yes.
It's not complicated. It doesn't cost money. It's simple. But because of the habits we have, it's not necessarily easy. So one of the things, Connor, that you could do now, it's very, very quick, and your listeners could do perhaps, is if you just think of something in your mind, you're not going to share it, so it's very safe. If you think of one of, you know, maybe the nasty things you say to yourself and repeat, you know, we all have them, right?
Yeah.
You know, we wake up in the morning, oh my God, this, that, and the other. And if you just notice for a microsecond, when you say that to yourself, it gives you a sensation in your body. And for most people, it'd be like being punched in the stomach, or that sinky feeling, or, you know, today is just a bad day. Right? And if you stop for a second and look at what you've just said to yourself, there's lots of ways we can do this, but the fastest way of doing it is, I then get you to think of your favorite cartoon character that has a voice, or comedian, that when you hear their voice, it makes you smile. And then say the very same words to yourself, but use the voice of your favorite cartoon character and notice what happens. it will feel funny.
Yeah, I'm with you now. That's what I'm doing now, yeah.
Exactly. So why is that important? Because the important thing is we follow the feelings. We follow the energy of the emotion that we create in our body. So when I tell myself something bad, it makes me feel bad, and then my behavior is predicated on the bad feeling. Do you see?
Yes, I'm with you.
And the other thing is, if it's funny, by the way, when your cartoon character said it, Connor, I can guarantee you it's a lie. It's not true in the first place. Fair. It's a belief you picked up from, you know, a teacher, a parent, society, school, blah, blah, blah. Something that you maybe even misinterpreted in the first place. But that's not what you did with the information on the inside. And we've 70,000 thoughts a day. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Jesus, 70,000 thoughts. That's...
it's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot in a day.
Best of luck watching them all, Connor. You know, you won't be very productive.
No. I'll have to write them all down. I need a good pen. Anna, I actually think, like... some people, when they turn on the radio, don't expect to hear this kind of stuff. And I think in this day and age, it's so important to hear these bits of information because you don't know how much it can affect. Or like, some people start people thinking, you're like, okay, I can move this on. I can help myself here. So I want to say thanks so much for giving us your knowledge. And I really appreciate the chat.
Thank you, Connor. Thank you for having me.
That is Anna Gibson-Steele and one of my favourite interviews that I've ever done. If you want to come and see her chat at the Midlands Wellness Retreat at the County Arms Hotel in Birr, there's a prize. I have the details to give away in just a few minutes. Music on the way from Oliver Tree, but right now one of her I Love Ireland. It is Connor here with you in for Louise all this week. And if you just had a listen to my chat with Anna Gibson-Steele, she is going to be giving a chat at the Midlands Wellbeing Retreat. Now, to fill you in on this, this is a prize I have to give away. It's taking place on the June 3rd, 4th and 5th. And it's taking place at the County Arms Hotel Birr, a fresh identity in the heart of Ireland. It includes wellness activities, vibrational healing meditation, exercises around manifestation, if I could say it properly, inspirational insights, fab food through the weekend, and there are, of course, resident and non-resident packages available. The website, check it out if you like, countyarmshotel.com. Now, the prize I have for you to head along to the Mindfulness Retreat, the Midlands Wellbeing Retreat, is two non-resident weekend passes for you and a friend to head along to that weekend, that wellness retreat that's taking place in the County Arms Hotel in Birr, June 3rd, 4th and 5th. And if you want to head along, if that's something that is up your street or you're trying to think about maybe learning some more about wellness activities or manifestation, whatever it might be, if it's up your street, very simple for you today. Text WIN and all your details to 087 1102 107 now. And I'll call someone back inside the next 10 minutes. Joe Bros to play, as well as Calvin Harris. Miracle on the way.
iRadio's The Hub with Louise Clark.
This is The Hub. It is Connor in here with you, in for Louise, all this week. Now, I have a lovely prize to give away. At the start of the hour, I was chatting to Anna Gibson-Steele, who is going to be at the Midlands Wellness Retreat at the County Arms Hotel Birr, a fresh identity in the heart of Ireland. A really good weekend of wellness activities coming up the 3rd, 4th, 5th of June. And I want to send someone along, so let's give someone a shout back.
Hello?
Hello, is this Roisin?
Yes, speaking.
Roisin, how's it going? It's Connor from my radio. What's the crack?
Oh, how are you?
I'm good. Are you well?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for calling.
No problem. What are you up to?
Oh, I'm just on my way back to Galway.
Oh, were you working?
No, I'm actually just about to graduate. I'm a student.
Oh, nice. What are you studying?
Occupational therapy.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, hence the mindfulness interest.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Taking place on the 3rd, 4th and 5th of June, the Midlands Wellness Retreat, which is taking place at the County Arms Hotel in Birr, has wellness activities, vibrational healing meditation, inspirational insights, food, and I've got good news.
Woo!
You're going!
Thank you so much. Thanks, Mel.
You're so welcome, and that sounds like a really good weekend. If you're thinking about your wellness and your mindfulness, a good weekend, definitely head along tonight.